One of the interesting dynamics of church life, as I have observed it over 4.5 decades. Holy mackerel. All right. Well, is that there is a phenomenon that I didn't have words for many, many years. But I've come to understand that it has been theologically supported and practically administrated, the principle of disposable relationships. If you don't believe my doctrine, you're out of here. That kind of thing. If you disappoint my standard for your behavior, I break fellowship with you. I say to you, I'm your brother, I love you, I'm here for you, until you get into a crisis that causes me to think that if I stand with you through your crisis, then I'm going to be indicted by others for standing with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may have heard this phrase that the church is the only army that shoots its wounded. That's not entirely true if you read the history books. However, because of the commonality with which we disregard fellow believers, we have a practice of disposable relationships at work in the kingdom. Now, I didn't know how to talk about that years ago, but I'm convinced that relationships are not disposable, that they are eternal. Those of us who know Christ have that same spirit. We're part of that same family, and we labor through the challenges of life together. And so when you find friends along the way who also identify with that mentality, it's such a joy. You know what I'm saying? It's just such a joy to walk with brothers who have the same spirit and the same mindset. And we're just decided, okay, we're here between here and heaven together. And the other side, we're forever together. How's that for a different approach? When I came into the ministry, one of the first men to befriend me was Pastor Randy Miller, the man who's with me today. And over the years, he has been such an encouragement to me, and such a living testimony of what God looks like in skin. I have known him in good times and bad, and I can say with absolute authority, he's a man who has a heart after God and one who pursues the will of God in his life. He's been an instrument of great healing and mercy and grace and instruction and pastoral care to hundreds of people over the years. I've been after him for a year and a half now to come down here on a Sunday morning. I finally got him. So would you please stand and give a warm welcome to the word of the Lord being born in my friend Randy Miller today.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was here. I made it this far south once last year, about just a little over a year ago, in fact. My daughter and I were here, and we sat right over there where you're sitting this morning. So we're in that area. So I did make it here that far, but not here in this place. And I was thinking about something that I experienced last night. When you opened that package, I was with the leadership team at their Christmas gathering. When you opened that package and it had that Christmas tree in it, remember? And the star fell off the top of the Christmas tree. Well, I thought about today's message somewhat. That someone said in the group last night, some disassembly required, you know? And I feel like that as you were saying what you were saying, I was feeling the sense of some disassembly required along the way, you know, because all of us encounter disassembly. Can you say amen to that? But we all also encounter God's assembly in our lives. So I want you to know I am so thrilled to be here this morning because I have been through some disassembly and some assembly and a great deal of that. Thank the Lord. And I was thinking about the call that when Pastor Lenny gave me a call and said he wanted me to come down and speak. I was standing in my kitchen at the counter, and I had a notebook open in front of me, and I was making a couple of notes about times and so forth. And sometimes those who are teachers, those who are in ministry, sometimes what happens to you is when you're invited or you know you have a message coming that you're going to be speaking, you know, you begin to say, Lord, what do you want to say? And sometimes he waits until the last moment. The way it happened for me is I literally closed my cell phone, started to turn from the kitchen counter, took one step toward a desk that's off of my counter there, and boom, just like that, the Lord dropped this message into my spirit. So what I do bring to you today isn't just a set of notes, but it's something that he just dropped into my spirit in a moment. So without any hesitation at all, I believe God has a word for all of us, and I say us because he speaks to the messenger first before he speaks to those who are going to receive the message. But I believe also that even in both services today, there are very specific people who God is going to touch their lives in a very, very specific way. And of course, I have no idea who that might be, and you don't even know who that will be yet. But God knows. And you're here by divine appointment. Whether this is your first time here today, or maybe you've been here for years and years and years. And as a pastor who has pastored for 30 years, I know this as well. That as the message is going forth, the one who has the message for you is whispering into your spirit how to apply the word of the day to your life. So I have absolute trust in him that when you leave here today, if you have an open ear, as the Word of God says, let the church hear what the Spirit has to say to her, that you will leave today having heard what he has to say to you specifically today. So I look forward to that. And when you leave here today, you will have heard him speak into your heart. Can you say amen? Amen. I don't, you may have heard this story before, but I want to begin with this. I heard it some years ago. And it's about a horse who was walking along and fell in a hole that was far deeper than he was tall. And it was almost impossible for them. Well, it was impossible for them to rescue the horse out of the hole. And they knew they needed to put the horse out of its misery, but it was moving in panic. It was moving so much inside this space that they didn't want to just shoot into the hole and miss. You know, that if they were going to have to do this, they wanted to do it with one shot, have it done, it would be over with. So they didn't want to injure the horse. They wanted to put it out of its misery. So here they were with this dilemma. They needed to stabilize the horse so they could get it to stand still. So they decided to just begin to throw dirt into the hole. And as they were throwing dirt into the hole in an effort to bury the horse, you know what happened? The dirt would fall on the horse. The horse would shake it off. And the intent of those who were throwing the dirt on the horse wasn't accomplished, because what would happen is as they threw dirt on the horse shook it off and just took another step higher. More dirt, another step higher. More dirt, another step higher. And finally, it was obvious. All they had to do was throw more and more and more dirt into the hole, and the horse finally was able to come out of the hole. Let's bow in prayer. Father, there are those here this morning. It may seem to them that from the very beginning of their life, that someone has been throwing dirt upon them. But Lord, what you do in our lives is you take the intention of others, the ill will, the hurt, the things that are said that have a sharp edge to them, and in fact sometimes have that sting of death attached to them. Their intention is for hurt. But what you do in us is you allow us to shake it off and step up one step higher. Lord, I pray that today you are going to speak into our hearts clearly in a way that we'll be able to receive what you have to say to us, and that we will leave this place as people who are standing strong and walking completely in your will. We thank you in advance for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord, everyone together said amen. Amen. As your pastor has shared with you, I'm going to share with you a few things. As he said, sometimes when people see your life, things change in their perspective toward you. So I'm going to open a window in a few moments into my own life, and I know that God is going to use that to touch you, because I believe that we all have a relationship in this together. But before we do that, I want us to go to Luke chapter 1. In fact, I thought she was going to read the passage of this morning further this morning when she said, "Turn to Luke." I thought, oh, here we go. All right. But we're going to go to chapter 1. And I'm not reading this just simply because it's this time of year, but I think it certainly applies to us. I want you to go to Luke 1:26. We're going to start there at verse 26. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" When Jesus was born, he was born into a world that had conflict and brokenness and strife and greed and hedonism. All sorts of things such as fear and shame and suspicion. Now, this wasn't just the surrounding world. This was the world that he was born into. Now, you and I can imagine the fact that she is getting this wonderful message. But when we see the story unfold, we realize that they had to deal with some major issues. Because she was with child, but she was unmarried. So the story tells us about the conflict, some of the conflict around that. So if you take the situation of the day and you fast forward it, you realize that some of the stuff that he was born into didn't just end when he was born. It was sort of part of the legacy of his life that some still had to deal with in the future. In addition to that, many of you know the horrendous story about how small children under 2 years old, the male children in a community, all of them were killed because of the association of Jesus potentially with that community. So imagine the horrendous legacy that he was born into. Now, what kind of legacy were you born into? I grew up in a great family. My mom and dad were married for 54 years. My dad is 95. He is, well, let's just say he's spry enough that recently he's gotten himself a girlfriend. Hey, what can you say, you know? And she's younger. Well, she'd almost have to be younger. My sister and I, we tell him that we're going to turn his pacemaker down, you know? Come on, Dad. You're robbing the cradle, you know? We laugh about it. We have a great time. And he lives with me. And he's just a great, great person. But I grew up in a wonderful family. So I had this feeling, this sense that because I had this wonderful legacy, that my world would be okay. So in a sense, there was this dependency or this looking into that and saying, my world's going to be okay. I'm going to see this kind of thing unfold in my own life. Not so. Not so. So I'm going to tell you that no matter what you were born into, good, bad, or indifferent. You can't depend on any of that for your day, the day that you live in, the life that you walk in. There's only one that you and I can depend on. Amen? Not any of those things. So, I'm going to tell you that today's message is this. From your breakthrough, no matter what your situation is, no matter what the hurt is, no matter what the challenge might be, from your breakthrough in that to not only your blessing, but the ability that you will have to give a blessing to someone else. Because in reality, that's what I bring to you today. From a breakthrough to a blessing. And I can't, it's like I want to get there before I can get there. Because I want you to hear the story. Something may have been passed on to you. Something that you feel that you have to overcome from your past. Or something that you, in fact, have to live up to. In some ways, there may be both of those things at work in your life. There may be things that people have said to you that affect you today. And before you do something, you hear that voice in your head. And the illustration that Lord brought to mind as I was thinking about this was a woman by the name of Barbara that was in a congregation where I was the founding pastor in Germantown, Maryland. This woman's name was Barbara. She was the kind of person who had a great servant's heart, but during worship or during any time where there was applause or clapping going on, she would never clap. I could see her sing, but she would never clap. One day, she and I were having a conversation about it, and she said, I'm a motor moron. And I thought, well, that can't be true. Now, I'm a drummer, so I detect rhythm pretty quickly. I watched her. She would sit near the front. I would watch her tap her foot to the music. I knew she was not a motor moron. But she never clapped. So in that moment when she said that, I was just prompted to say, well, who told you were a motor moron? And she said, oh, I was a little girl. And I remember I was having difficulty keeping time, keeping rhythm to this particular song. And my mom turned to me and said, you are a motor moron, Barbara. Don't even try. So from the time of her childhood to the point where I met this woman as part of our congregation, she would not clap or do anything outwardly that had anything to do with rhythm whatsoever. Because someone had planted a negative seed in her life. Now imagine, here's what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells us to lift up holy hands and to clap unto the Lord. And there's all sorts of expressions throughout the Word that tells us to praise Him. She was saying no to the very Word of God at work in her own life. Not because of what the Word of God was saying to her, but because of what someone else had said, someone who was significant in her life. But it was limiting her today. Now, she was in her mid to late 30s at that time. Now, so that means for, more than 30 years probably, she had been in a situation of not clapping. And I remember watching her after that particular moment when we were talking. I remember her after that kind of doing this. She was standing behind someone else. So nobody could see her. But I could see her upper body. I knew she was trying. She was starting. It's going, ooh, ooh, ooh. But she just started there. And then finally she was about waist high, and then after a while she was up here, and then finally you could hear her clapping. Now, it's like it never happened. But someone planted that negative word in her life, and she received what someone had said. Yet, the Word of God, those around her, the preacher, if you will, her own reading of the Word was in complete opposition to the Word of someone else, but she responded to that Word. Now, I don't know what it may be. It may not be something someone has said. It may be an experience in your life. It may be conflict or shame or fear or regret. It could be anything. But no matter what that is, here's what was said about Jesus. Though he may have been born into that, he may have had those influences around him. Here's what was said about him in the beginning. You have great favor, Mary. Well, not only did she have that, but obviously he would have that. He also would have blessing, and there would be salvation through him. There would be hope that came through him. And wonderful promise. I submit to you that there's great promise that God intends to come through you to others. It first has to come to you, right? Amen. So God intends it for us so that from us he can bless someone else. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about my own story. I've told you a little already about my family. I've been in ministry now about 30 years. I have always been a person who did my best to be a person of integrity. I try to watch that and listen for that internal voice that says, be careful. Don't slip over away from the untruth and to the thing that's not true. If it's not yours, don't pick it up. Whether it's a pencil at the office or whatever. I have been extremely sensitive to that sort of thing. The voice of God within me about that stuff. All kinds of little things. At about 25 years of marriage, something began to happen. Things began to change. I was around 15 years into a church plant that lasted, for me, 17 and a half years. And tensions began to arise. Things that no matter what I tried to do, it wouldn't solve the problem. And it was like it was getting away from me. Now, I've counseled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours. And I remember years ago when I was at one particular church, I would actually be booked 3 or 4 days out of my work week all day long in counseling. So I knew the inside track, if you will, but nothing I knew was working. Everything that I tried to apply seemed to fall off the edge. And I was, Lord, what in the world is happening? So what began to happen is my life seemed to begin to unravel. Now, when you're in ministry, when you hold this position, then when that kind of thing starts to happen to you, as Pastor said earlier, people around you begin to see you differently. Now, the congregation did not ever in any way push me away at all. In fact, I could have stayed in that congregation. No one ever asked me to leave. But I've invested 17 and a half years in that congregation, and I was the founding pastor. So it was like I was saying, I am not going to do this to the church. I'm going to back away and allow the church to continue on. And it's been there now well over 20 years now. But what was happening is something it seemed like I couldn't change. No matter what I tried to do to reconcile, nothing worked. No matter what counsel I received from others, trying everything, it just didn't work. It continued to fall apart. And I want to be kind, because I want to tell you that, you know, the only thing I want to say about it is in relationship to my ex-wife, is that today she's married to my former best friend. So I lost two people. I lost a best friend of 22 years, and I lost a wife of 25. And that was tough. I went through emotions that I never knew were possible for me. I remember in the middle of the night after I had moved out and I was sleeping on boxes, a stack, because I didn't have any furniture. I was sleeping on boxes that had a single mattress. Wasn't a very good mattress either. A single mattress on the top of it. And it kind of leaned one side because the boxes on the left were a little shorter than the boxes on the right. So I had to be careful in the middle of the night. It just didn't fall out, you know, onto the floor. But it made, you know how cardboard is when it rubs together? It made that kind of sound, you know. But I did learn I could sleep on most anything, you know. So I had this experience, though, of awakening. It was about 2:30-ish, 3 o'clock. I just sat up in the bed, and in an instant like that, I was in absolute rage. I don't mean I was angry. I've been angry before. Not often, but I have been angry before. I was overcome with those emotions. Now, I knew enough not to stay in the room. It was in the middle of winter. There was ice outside. I grabbed a house coat, put this robe on. I walked out of my apartment into the parking lot and stood in the cold because I needed to be outside of that small space. But I determined I was going to leave my keys there. I was not taking anything with me except the key to get me back into the apartment. I realized that if I didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I realized why people in that moment with the drug of adrenaline and rage, why they do some things that they do. That was over. I was totally vanquished as far as my energy was concerned. Finally was able to go back to sleep, slept through the rest of the evening, went to work the next day. Some weeks passed. It happened to me during the day. Something, I don't even remember what the trigger was, but something happened and it was like this flood of emotion hit me. So I'm saying this to say, just to slide open the window some and let you look in to say, I know if you've been there, I know what it feels like. I was separated from the church. Some of that was by intention. I would go to different churches, never the same church. 50 churches in 52 weeks. And then finally, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about getting planted someplace. So I was going kind of back and forth between two. And then finally, I started in one. And I came in the back door of the church that was fairly large. Came into the back door of the church, and I sat three rows from the back, right in that pew that was right back there. The pastor preached the message, gave a call for those to come forward. I knew I needed to, but I couldn't quite take the step forward. Two Sundays later, I was back in the same place, same situation again. The thought that was hitting me was, in a church this size, probably somewhere between 750 and 800 adults in the second worship service, I'm sitting there thinking, probably somebody in this crowd probably knows me. So what was that? Pride, right? I didn't want someone to see that I needed to step forward. So the Lord began to deal with that. The third Sunday that I was there, same pew. I don't know why no one ever sat there, but they didn't. I did. The third time, pastor gives the call. We were standing up, and this is how it started. I'm standing in the pew. Here's the aisle. It started with this. It was as if before there had been a hurdle here, you know, one of those things that runners jump over. And suddenly the hurdle was now just a threshold. And I just did this. And that simple momentum started things changing. Because from here, I went down that long aisle. There were other people going. But I felt like I was all by myself. I remember just standing there thinking, I'm not sure even what I expect. But here I was standing there. That morning, the Lord touched, yes, but it was just a beginning point. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I was back. And then after a while, I play percussion, I went to the person who was responsible for music ministry, and I said, hey, could I just play percussion off to the side? You know, there was an area where there was some percussion equipment, and I started doing that. And after a while, I was up on the platform playing the drums and various percussion instruments. And that's how the Lord began to bring me back into the place where I am here today. So I don't know specifically. I can't tell you how that's going to relate to someone that's here today. It may relate really directly to you, but it may not. But it may be a preparation for you so that when you are speaking to someone else, you'll remember this so that you can speak to them. But I want you to go with me to John, the book of John, chapter 13. You know, I found that I had been derailed, but I wasn't dead. You know, derailed, but not dead. And the Lord was, what he did right there when it was like, he set me like when I was a child and I set my train set back on the track. That's what he did. He just set me back on the track. Now, it wasn't back on the track for ministry. It was back on the track for life. Just to live. Just to be who he wanted me to be. To do what he wanted me to do. To become what he wanted me to become. So John 13:3 says this. This is a situation where the Passover feast is taking place. And Jesus is going to wash the feet of the disciples. And I want you to see something that happens or that he is said about him. Listen to this. It says, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time that had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Now listen to this. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. But notice what the writer is saying about Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power. Say power with me. Power. And that he had come from God. Say come from God. Come from God. And was returning to God. Say returning to God. Returning to God. There are three elements. Now, you know, it's like an onion. There are lots and lots and lots and lots of layers here. But at least this layer is this. He knew where his power came from. Power for his life. It wasn't self-generated power. You and I have to first recognize that it's not self-generated power that we exist in. But our power for life, our power to live, our power to be, comes from the Father. Amen. The second thing is, he said, and that he had come from God. Where did you come from? Some of us think we came from our parents and from our parents only. But you and I, we would not be here today were it not that God established that we were going to be here today. Amen. So if we recognize that, then why did God bring us into the earth that we are living in today? Why are you sitting in that chair today? Why are you taking the breaths that you take right now? Because he's ordained it. Not someone else, but he has ordained it. It then says that he knew where he was going, that he was returning to the Father. Question that I have for you today that the Holy Spirit planted in my spirit to ask you is, where are you going? Where are you going? He's not just talking about going to heaven, because there was a lot that was going to happen between this moment and him going to the Father in the heavenlies, if you will. Where are you going? Where are you going when you leave here? Maybe to lunch. I don't know. But besides that, where are you going? You see, the moment I stepped out of the pew, I was going somewhere. Up until this moment, I didn't feel like I was going anywhere. I felt like I was arrested, stopped. Now, actually, I was, but it didn't feel quite like that yet. But when I did this, I started going in the direction that God had for me, toward the healing that He had for me, toward the hope that He had for me, and toward the future that He had for me. And embodied in that was not only the breakthrough that He had for me, but the blessing for me and through me. Now, remember the moment that I stood in the pew the first Sunday and the second Sunday, the thing that kept me from going forward was what? Pride. So I had to break through the pride. I had to get past that so that I could move toward the blessing. Now, you know what? If I were out there watching me, I would say the very thing I didn't want to do was tell you what I just told you. I didn't want anybody to know that I experienced rage. It's okay to be upset, but not really angry, because, you know, the Bible says be angry and sin not. During that rage event, the two that I had, let's just say there were no sin not moments in that. Oh, I thought of absolutely horrendous things that were running through my mind. So the breakthrough leads to the blessing. But we have to choose to get through the thing that is keeping us, stopping us, arresting us. It may be that somebody told you you were a motor moron. Or anything else for that matter. She had said something to me at one point that absolutely destroyed. It just jerked the rug out from under me. It was about my leadership. It was about my people skills ability. It was about my preaching. She listed them and none of them were good. Fast forward some time, she's sitting with me at no less than a Panera Bread. I go back there often to heal the place, you know, so I have no negative memories of it. It's one of my favorite places now. Great bread, good coffee, you know. And some blessing that's happening there too. But the day that she sat with me and she said, I want to continue with the divorce. I remember the moment. Then she asked, or she said to me, I want to apologize to you for the things that I said. Now, this may sound somewhat harsh, but I want you to know it wasn't intended to be harsh at all. I said to her, you know, I appreciate not only the apology, but her eyes were somewhat wet with tears. And I said, I appreciate the apology. I even appreciate the tears. But it's taken, and the strength rose up within me. And I looked at her across the table and I said, you know, it's taken me a year to come to the point where I can look at you and say, you were wrong. You were wrong. The thing was, is I received what she had said. I had believed a negative report. So there may have been things that have been said, things that you've experienced, things that someone has said, maybe even today. I'm going to encourage you, don't receive, don't believe the negative report. Now, the passage I want to close with is 2 Corinthians. It's in the very beginning of 2 Corinthians. It says this, verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us. Watch this. In all of our troubles. Now watch closely. It says,
so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. So the purpose of my being here right now is that His comfort to me might overflow and comfort you. I don't know what your situation is. I do know this. That whatever it is, as God brings His healing, His hope, and your future, that God's intention is not just for the healing of your spirit, not just for the healing of your mind, but that from the comfort that He has given you, to whatever degree it has begun already, that from that comfort, His intention is to bring someone into your life to bring comfort to you, through you to them. I want to close with this. I need to celebrate this man, your pastor. And the reason for that is because out of 30 years of ministry and all the various relationships that I had, there was one person, not one of two or three or five, there was one person who called me after I had a heart attack, after I had major prostate cancer surgery, after and during the separation and divorce. One man. Your pastor. So, out of the comfort that God has brought to his life, it overflowed into my life. And I looked forward to today, if for no other reason, I wanted to, before you, in front of him, say thank you. Thank you for standing with me. Let's stand together. Out of the same comfort that God has brought to you or is bringing to you from that breakthrough, there is a blessing for you and there is a blessing through you. Let's pray. Father, there may be someone here that's here for the first day today, first time. Maybe someone who hasn't been in church for years. Maybe not even ever. But they're here because of their prompting within their spirit to be reconciled to you. They may not even understand it. They can't even put it into words. But Lord, if that's happening today, may their reconciliation with you simply be based on the fact that they acted on the prompting. They made a decision some hours ago to set an alarm clock to be here in this moment. Lord, there are others here that have heard these words, and you have spoken so clearly to them. Maybe they even have seen a picture. It's as if there's a frame on the wall, and they stand back and they see themselves in this picture. And they see that moment when hurt came, when the barb was inserted, when it seemed like it could never be pulled out. But your intention is to say to them, I am your comfort, and I am going to comfort you. Lord, you were even there in the moment of that hurt. You were there even in the moment of that pain. You're here right now, bringing liberty and life and hope and a future. With every head bowed, every eye closed for a moment, I'm going to look around. If today is a day that you desire to be reconciled to God, let me ask, is this the day for you? If so, no one's looking around. It's just you and I. Would you just look up at me? You don't even need to raise a hand. Today is a day for your reconciliation with God. Just look up. That's all you need to do. I'll be looking in your direction so that our eyes would meet. if this message has spoken to you in a very clear way, something about what has been said today has spoken to a hurt in your past, but there's been hope that God has given you, and you can see a future. Would you just lift your hand and just let me see that? If you would, if for no other reason, just an encouragement to me. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Many of you. Thank you so much. Father, I pray your blessing upon them. That the anointed presence of the Holy Spirit, your anointing, your flow would come and pop upon them and rest upon them right now. In your wonderful, precious name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.